Church, that brings us to our third objective. To build our local church, we must submit. We must submit. The subtitle for today's message is Walk Worthy. Walk Worthy. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If we're going to carry out God's plan for His church, we must submit. If we're going to carry out God's plan for His church, we must submit. That word submit in the context of this message simply means to comply with or obey. To comply with or obey. What is it that we must submit to? Church, if we're going to prepare a safe place, we must submit to God's instructions. We must submit to God's instructions. See, with commitment comes additional instructions. Whenever we make a commitment in our heart, additional instructions are going to follow. God's going to start speaking to us. So if we're going to prepare a safe place, that means we have to agree with the plan, commit to the plan, and then submit to God's instructions. Well, what kind of instructions are we talking about, Pastor? Not the kind we're thinking about. See, these are not the instructions on what kind of classes we can hold, what kind of activities we can have, what kind of outreach we can do. Yes, God will give us some instructions like that, but those are not the instructions that we need to focus on right now. No, these instructions, God's instructions concern our personal conduct. They are instructions to us concerning our personal conduct. More specifically, instructions on cleaning it up. Cleaning up our poor conduct. You may ask the question, well, why is God making us focus on personal conduct? I thought this series was a series about building the church, preparing the church. So why are you bringing us back to personal conduct? Well, let me just be frank with you. It is because the greatest obstacle to the work of the church is the conduct of believers. The greatest obstacle to the work of the church is the conduct of believers. I love how we as Christians, we want to blame the adversary for everything. We run around and we say, oh, you know, the devil is busy. But the adversary is not our greatest obstacle. See, Jesus said, upon this rock, that is the truth of who I am, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, that is the schemes and the plans of the adversary, shall not prevail against it. Jesus already said that the schemes and the plans of the adversary can't do anything to the church. So the adversary is not our greatest obstacle. The greatest obstacle to the work that God has called us to do is us. We are our own obstacle. See, we have all that we need to prepare a safe place. There is nothing that we need that we lack. We have a firm foundation. We know our foundation is Jesus. We have a sure structure. We know that our structure is the body of Christ. So that means that no one person is responsible to do everything, that we all must come into the body and give of our share. And if we all give our share then and do our part, then the body is cared for. So we have a firm foundation. We have a sure structure. And church, we have power from on high. We have the power of the Holy Ghost to help us do everything that God has called us to do. We have a firm foundation, a sure structure, power from on high, and we have an attractive message. An attractive message. It is the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. So we have everything that we need to create a safe place, but our poor conduct gets in the way. That's what gets in the way, poor conduct. And church, it is a problem of epic proportions in the body of Christ. Because modern Christians no longer care about how we act. Christians as a whole don't care how we act. To us, conduct is irrelevant. Just doesn't matter. We say anything we want to say, do anything we want to do, treat people however we feel like treating them. We act up and act out. We associate ourselves with people and with things that are godless, profane, and nasty. We just don't care. Christians don't care about conduct anymore. If I say that I'm a Christian, that's all I need. I don't need to prove it. I don't need to live it. I'm a Christian. Don't care about my conduct. The church has forgotten who God is. We have forgotten that He is holy, that He commands us to be holy as He is holy. And the church has turned the grace of God into a license to do whatever, whatever. That is what we do as Christians. Whatever, whatever. We are proud and unapologetic for our worldliness. Proud and unapologetic that we look like the world, act like the world, sound like the world. And we tell people, don't judge. Whenever someone calls us out for our bad behavior, that's what we say. Don't judge me. We feel no shame for our foul behavior, and we have no sense of responsibility to be Christ-like and to represent Jesus as He is. Poor conduct. Bad behavior. And we bring our poor conduct right into the church and make the church what it ought not be. The church is not a safe place because of the conduct of Christians. We make the church what it ought not be. The greatest obstacle to the work of the church is the conduct of believers. Poor conduct. Poor conduct brings division and strife in the church where there should be unity. Poor conduct causes backbiting, gossip, slander, and malice where there should be love and mutual exhortation. That's in the church. Poor conduct encourages sin and unrighteousness in the church, instead of encouraging righteousness and holiness. Poor conduct. Poor conduct mars our witness. We don't present Jesus accurately. We present Him incorrectly because we don't behave as He behaved. Poor conduct. Poor conduct sets a poor example for new believers. sets a poor example for new believers. They follow right behind us in the things that we do. Church, poor conduct is what hinders spiritual growth in the church and pushes people out of the church. It's all in our conduct, because we have everything we need to create a safe place. Our poor conduct is what makes the church unsafe. See, write this down in your notes. A church will never be better than the conduct of its members. And that means all of us, me included. A church will never be better than the conduct of its members. So if our church is to be a safe place, before I go any further, I have the responsibility to submit to God's instructions concerning my personal conduct. Before I suggest any activity, before I say what God has called me to do, before I complain about anybody else, the pastor, the ministry head, the ministry worker, before I do any of that, I have the responsibility to submit to God's instructions concerning my personal conduct, because we all have some. God has given all of us some instructions about our personal conduct. And if I don't submit to those instructions and clean it up, then I'm a hindrance to the work of God. Don't care what I know. Don't care how valuable I think I am in the life of the church. If I don't fix my conduct issues, I am a hindrance to the work of God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we looked at Ephesians chapter 4 at the end of our last series, but we're going to look at it again from a slightly different vantage point. We know that in this scripture, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and encouraging them in their faith. And in the first three chapters, we learn that Paul reminded the church of the doctrine of salvation, that they were saved by grace through faith. And after he reminds them of the doctrine of salvation, he moves into some practical instructions. That's where we pick up in chapter 4. Let's read the first three verses. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Here we see that Paul says, "I therefore," in other words, in light of everything that you know, everything that I have just told you, "I beseech you, I beg you to walk worthy of the vocation that you have been called to. Walk worthy of the salvation which God has called you to." He says, walk worthy. And he starts by saying, do it by exhibiting love, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. But Paul goes on to explain the why. He goes on to explain why it is important for each member of the church to walk worthy. He goes on in chapter 4 and says, there is one body. There's one body to which all Christians belong. You know what that says? There's no other options for us. That when God saved us, our only option was the body of Christ. There's one body empowered by the same Holy Spirit, and we are collectively serving one God. And as you continue to read on in chapter 4, Paul then lets them know that when the saints of God are equipped to work their ministry, it will cause the body of Christ to be built up. He lets them know that it is through Jesus that the whole body is held together, and that through Jesus, each member is supplied with divine power to do their part. And when